What if the greatest treasure wasn't gold, but goodness itself? In a ramshackle wooden house where four grandparents share a single bed and dinner means watery cabbage soup, young Charlie Bucket lives with a gnawing hunger that never quite leaves. His father screws caps on toothpaste tubes for pennies, while Charlie grows thinner by the day, receiving just one chocolate bar each year, a gift he stretches across months, nibbling tiny pieces to make the pleasure last. Yet twice daily, he passes the world's most magnificent chocolate factory, its tantalizing aroma filling the air like a promise just out of reach. This isn't merely a story about candy. It's about what happens when character collides with temptation, when virtue faces its ultimate test. Charlie's journey reveals something profound. In a world obsessed with having more, the greatest magic belongs to those who appreciate what they have. Willy Wonka doesn't just make chocolate. He bends reality. His creations defy logic. Ice cream that never melts, marshmallows tasting like lilacs, caramels shifting colors every 10 seconds. When an Indian prince requested a chocolate palace, Wonka delivered 100 rooms where everything was edible. The prince lived there until one sweltering afternoon when the entire structure melted, leaving him swimming in a massive brown lake. But Wonka's greatest mystery is the factory itself. Years ago, rival chocolatiers sent spies to steal his recipes. After competitors began copying his inventions, he shut everything down and vanished. Months later, smoke mysteriously began rising from chimneys again, though gates remained locked. For a decade, chocolates have been produced and shipped worldwide, yet no one enters or leaves. The only clue? Tiny shadows glimpsed through frosted windows, people no taller than a knee. The factory stands as both fortress and fantasy, where imagination trumps impossibility. When Wonka announces he'll open his gates to five lucky children, the world descends into chocolate madness. One by one, tickets emerge, each winner revealing a particular vice. Augustus Gloop, enormously fat, devours countless bars, while his mother defends his gluttony as nourishment. Veruca Salt's wealthy father buys thousands of bars, forcing factory workers to unwrap them. Violet Beauregard, obsessively competitive, temporarily abandons gum chewing for chocolate. Mike TV, a television addict, barely looks up from gangster shows. The Bucket family watches with disgust. "No good can ever come from spoiling a child like that," Grandpa Joe mutters. When Charlie receives his birthday chocolate without a ticket, he immediately offers to share, though everyone refuses, insisting it's his alone. While other children represent modern vices, gluttony, greed, competitiveness, media addiction, Charlie embodies something increasingly rare: contentment amid scarcity, generosity despite having nothing. Winter devastates the Buckets. 4 feet of snow closes the toothpaste factory. Mr. Bucket earns pennies, shoveling nowhere near enough. Meals shrink to bread slices and half potatoes. Charlie grows skeletal, walking slowly to conserve energy, refusing his parents' portions. One afternoon, something silver glints in the gutter, a 50 pence piece. Charlie buys chocolate, devouring it in enormous bites. With the change, he buys one more bar. As he tears the wrapper, brilliant gold flashes, the fifth golden ticket. Bystanders offer fortunes, but Charlie clutches it and runs home. Grandpa Joe, bedridden for 20 years, suddenly leaps up shouting, "Yippee!" and dances in his pajamas. This miracle rejuvenates the entire family. The universe rewards not the loudest or richest, but those who've maintained their humanity when it would have been easier to lose it. On February 1st, the gates open to reveal Wonka himself, an extraordinary little man in a plum-colored velvet coat and black top hat, moving with quick, jerky motions like a squirrel. He leads them through pink corridors sloping downward, air thick with roasting coffee, burnt sugar, melting chocolate, mint, violets, and hazelnuts. They reach a shiny metal door, the chocolate room. Inside lies an astonishing valley, green meadows, a tremendous waterfall, a great brown river of pure melted chocolate. Everything is edible. Grass made of minty sugar, delicious buttercups. Small figures appear, Oompa Loompas, imported from Loompaland, where they survived on revolting caterpillars while desperately craving cacao beans. Wonka offered them unlimited beans to work in his factory, and they became the mysterious workers keeping production running. Augustus Gloop immediately sneaks to the riverbank, scooping chocolate into his mouth despite warnings. He falls in, gets sucked toward a giant pipe, and shoots upward like a torpedo. The Oompa Loompas sing mockingly about the great big greedy nincompoop as he disappears toward the fudge room. This first casualty establishes a pattern. Each child's dominant flaw leads directly to their downfall, providing vivid moral lessons wrapped in fantastical circumstances. The tour continues by pink boat through tunnels, revealing fudge mountains and Oompa Loompa villages. Wonka offers chocolate from the river, a simple pleasure meaning more to starving Charlie than to children who take such luxuries for granted. In the inventing room, Wonka demonstrates everlasting gobstoppers and revolutionary chewing gum meals. Despite warnings, gum-obsessed Violet grabs and chews it. As she describes tasting each course, her body turns blue-purple and swells into an enormous sphere. Wonka sighs that this always happens with dessert and summons Oompa Loompas to roll her to the juicing room. In the nut room, 100 trained squirrels expertly shell walnuts by tapping them. Spoiled Veruca demands one, and when refused, enters to take what she wants. All 100 squirrels leap upon her, tap her head, and deem her a bad nut. They drag her toward the garbage chute. When her parents rush in, the squirrels efficiently dispatch them down the same chute. In the television chocolate room, Wonka demonstrates sending chocolate through television. Mike TV ignores warnings and leaps into the camera lens. After a blinding flash, he appears on screen, completely intact, but only an inch tall. The Oompa Loompas sing about how television rots the senses and kills imagination. With all other children gone, Wonka bursts with excitement, vigorously shaking Charlie's hand. The glass elevator rockets through the factory roof, soaring 1,000 feet up. Looking down, they see the other children returning home. Augustus, thin as a straw, Violet purple-faced, the salts covered in rubbish, Mike stretched to 10 feet tall. Wonka reveals his true purpose. He's getting old and needs someone to take over his factory. He chose Charlie because, unlike the others, Charlie demonstrated patience, kindness, and appreciation rather than greed. The prize isn't just chocolate, but the entire factory itself. Charlie will bring his whole family to live there, ensuring they'll never go hungry again. Charlie's journey comes full circle, from poverty's depths to becoming heir to a magical empire. In a world that often rewards the loudest and greediest, true magic belongs to those who remain kind when they have nothing. Wonka's factory wasn't testing children's ability to follow rules. It was revealing who they truly were when temptation surrounded them. In that test, the poorest boy proved richest in what actually matters. Your circumstances don't define your character. Your choices do.